Veronica H. from the D.C. area.
God, my name is Veronica, and I'm an addict.
Hi.
I thought I'd better come out of the jacket because I know one of them things going to hit me.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I got my fan with me as well. Oh, my. First of all, I'd like to thank Niecy for being on the program committee and suggesting me as a speaker. When she texted me, I was like, she said, have you spoken at Ocean City in the last 3 years? I said, honey, I ain't never spoken at Ocean City. And so I texted, I said, wait a minute, you got the right Veronica, because she should go, girl, I know who I'm texting. I said, Niecy, I don't know about all. She said, look, I need you to do this. Would you agree to it? Blah, blah, blah. Your topic is living the program. And I was like, oh, okay. But you know what? I wouldn't tell nobody. Because of the still the little less than thing that I feel every now and then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was scared that if I get here and they said, no, we ain't got your name on here. I'm serious. This is my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I ain't telling nobody I don't want to be embarrassed. They not asking the right person. Remember? And I texted her. She texted me a month later, okay, I need you to sign this form. I said, are you serious? She said, yes, I told you I was serious. So called a couple of people in my network, and one good friend, Brenda W., said, just remember you don't have to do it today. You know, because I had started getting all up in my head. You know, my stomach started flipping. But so I'm real thankful. I'm real grateful because I look around in the room, and I get very filled up because I have a common bond with everybody in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that I could be loved or that I could love. Because I was such a wretch. I was such a wretch. You know, I had anger. I was nasty. I didn't like who I was before I started using. Let's put it that way. I had buck teeth. I was skinny. I still got buck teeth. And I like them now. You know, and so I was skinny. I was tall. You know, and I always wanted to be a fly girl. I always wanted to be a fly girl. Then my mother, she gonna move us from D.C., the hood, hanging out, you know, to the suburbs of Maryland. You know, I was in the seventh grade. I had never been to school with white people because D.C. was predominantly black. I had never been to school on a yellow school bus. And, oh, my God, my cousins in Berry Farms, some of y'all know where Berry Farms is, the D.C. people do. They used to tease us and say, oh, y'all retarded because y'all ride the yellow school bus to school, you know. So I had to deal with that. You know, I was the oldest of three girls in one household. And now today I know that my mother was doing the best. She wanted to get us out. You know, she wanted to move us out. She worked three jobs. And today I know that she had to do that because that's what she was taught to do, was to provide for them girls. Provide for them girls, you know. But when I came here and I did my step work and I did my fourth step, I had to break that cycle because I knew that I needed my mother or somebody to be in the audience when I was doing real good. I was in the glee club and this and that. I needed her to be in the audience. I needed her to give me a hug. I needed her to pat me on my head. You know, all of that. But you know, three jobs, you ain't there to do all of that. But I realized that she loves me. She really does. But you all had to teach me that through my step work and keep coming back. And listening to y'all's stories, because we all got some family stories in here. But today, went to Largo High School. You know, we went to PG County. I went to PG College right next door, believe it or not. You know, I was on the lawn with the hippies. They was playing the guitar. We were smoking weed, drinking Miller Ponies, you know. I started doing that at 17. I called myself a late bloomer when I listened to it. I was like, dang, 3, 4, 5, 6? Oh, no. I was like 17. But had the behavior before. And so started doing that, you know. I did okay at school. You know, I started smoking the reefer and drinking the Miller Ponies. And then, you know, I started doing a little freebasing. You know, I snorted cocaine for a second. When I found out how to cook, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that no more. You know. And I was one of them. I would love to tell you that, you know, I freebased cocaine. Yes, I did that for a minute. And then, then I found myself. I was one of them ones that said, oh, I'm not buying nothing already cooked. They got to be kidding. Honey, as soon as I said it, I was doing that. So, you know, smoking crack. So I started at 17, smoking weed, drinking Miller's Ponies, ended up at 33, smoking crack. And I'll tell you a little bit, just a little bit in between there, you know, I tried to relocate, you know. At 28, I moved to California. I said, okay, you know what, these people here going to drive me crazy. I'm starting to do stuff I ain't never done. I'm manipulating, I'm stealing. I always had a job. I was stealing petty cash. I had liquor on my desk. I had cocaine left in the bathroom and the keys and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Went over to Potomac Gardens, and look, this is funny. So when I came in the room, we was driving one day, and I said, so somebody in the car said, oh, yeah, they fixing up. But Tom God, I said, I've been over there before. Didn't even know that I had been there, you know, because I was from the suburbs. So when I came into D.C., the lights just flickered, you know. So anyway, I moved to California, and I had my first boyfriend here. He had moved to Fremont. You know, Fremont is in Northern California, not Southern where L.A. is. This is Northern California. So he said, okay, Slim, what you coming out here for? I said, I got to get myself together. I said, because these people here, they going to kill me. They going to kill me. He said, all right, come on out. Come on out. So I went out there, y'all. Within a couple of days, I found a strip. You know? And I lived in Fremont, California. Fremont. And Palo Alto had the best drugs. Oh, my God. Anyway, I still remember it. But and then you know something about us that ain't going to go away, you know. But found me a dealer down there, and I started cooking for him. And I'm telling you, it was crazy. I started stealing from him. And I didn't even know these people. Didn't know these people. Frank was like, where you going? And I bought me a little Plymouth Valiant car, because you need a car in California. They don't have no subway. You know, so I got me a little car because I had a job. I got me a little job. I was a word processor at a waste management company. So I stayed there 2.5 years doing the same thing that I left here getting away from. The same thing. Because I was taking me with me. I was taking me with me. You know, I still had the know-how to get with, you know, the manipulation, all of that. And when I got there, Frank was not smoking cocaine. When I left, he was. So, but he's one of them people. When I left, he stopped. See, he one of those kind of people. As long as it leaves him, you know. So he's doing good now. You know, we still talk and stuff. But I got a whiff that they was going to fire me on my job. Because, you know, I had gotten down to working one day a week and missing in action. But that's what I did here. You know, so I said, oh, I fixed them. They're going to find me. I'm going to quit. So I called home, and I told my mother. I said, yeah, I'm coming home. And it was a long silence on the phone. She was like, oh. Because they knew. You know, in the 2.5 years, I came home maybe once. I think maybe once or twice. And when I came home, I was gone the whole time, you know. And I come back, get myself together enough to get on that plane and get back to California. But so she said, yeah, okay. So y'all, I came back, and she said, well, so picked up right where I left off. It was like I never left. You know, same people, same everything. Got me a little job again at a law firm, and I rented this lady's condo out in Greenbelt, and had me a nice little dealer friend. And this was crazy. This was crazy. Now, he didn't mind me snoring, but I couldn't smoke nothing. I was like, huh. You know, when he would leave, I'd give me a cab and go right on over to the people's house where they was cooking and smoking. And so I went over there one time, and I left something there that he knew it was mine. So when he came to see me the next time, he pulled it out. I said, and he pulled out a gun. And I was like, oh, Lord, this man is going to kill me. You know? But he was married, so I knew he wasn't going to kill me because he would be in a lot of trouble. But so that was the kind of sick behavior that was going on with those kind of people and those kind of things, you know. And so the lady that I was renting the condo from was getting ready to sell the condo. And she offered it to me. And I was like, nah, I don't have no money. My mother was like, you don't have no money? You don't even have a car note. What are you doing? I was smoking, you know. So anyway, my mother said, well, you can't come back here. My mother was married for the third time, and she was happy. She said, so we will sign for you, blah, blah, blah. So I got a place on East Capitol Street, the Carbon, and they signed for me to move in there. Mm-hmm. And I used to love, when I first started coming to meetings, I live in the Carbon. Yeah, well, y'all, my name was not on that lease. My mother's name was on that lease. I was still homeless. So I stayed there. I was in there for 30 days and ended up with no rent money, no nothing. I'm going to tell you about my last run before I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I was up for a whole week living in the car barn on the front. I had on a black and white suit with a little yellow blouse. I was trying to go to work. I started out Monday morning, but I said, well, let me call the man because, you know, I could always get a tick because I had a little job. So I called the guy. He kept serving me. You know, next thing I knew, it was Thursday, and so a guy from my office brought me my check, so we went everywhere trying to get the check cash, and we couldn't get a cash nowhere, and I always could get my check cash, so he ended up getting something to drink and stuff, so we went back, and I blacked out. You know, I didn't even know what that was then. I had to come into outpatient treatment facility to find out that I had been doing that all along, blacking out, and so when I came to, you know, My room was all smoky. It was big hands. It was ashes. It was dark, you know. And I bust out crying. I said, okay, if I keep doing this, I'm going to end up killing myself. Mm-hmm. I am. So I reached over and I called the lady on. I called my job. I didn't even know who I was calling because I moved around in the firm. I was a floater. And this lady on my job had been asking me for 2 years. Why do you keep doing this to yourself? You such a nice girl and da da da. And I was like, what you talking about? Doing nothing? You know, I'm all right. You know, I ain't had no kids. No, I'm all right. I got a job. You know, I got somewhere to live. She was like, no, you got to stop doing this because I was working one day a week again. And so, so she started crying and I started crying. She said, okay, look, hold on. Listen to that. Hold on. She said, I'm going to make some calls. I'm going to call you back. She called me back with some phone numbers. I called a couple of places. What I called, GW. And I left a voicemail. See, now today I know that if you say you're going to kill yourself, they're going to call you back. So y'all know, all these years, all my early years in recovery, I was like, ooh, they called me back. That was so nice of them. No, they called you back. See, that's why you got to keep coming back. They called me. They called me back because I said I was going to kill myself. It wasn't nothing special about you. They called you back because you was going to kill yourself. So they called me back. The lady, we talked. She said, okay, you coming? I said, I'm coming. So I hung the phone up. You know, I was sitting there. So the lady in the office called me. She said, what you doing? I said, I'm going to try to call somebody to pick me up. She said, oh, no. She said, you got to go. You got to go out of there now. And, you know, because y'all, a lot of times I had been in that same situation. I get me a plan, in 10 minutes, I'm gone. So all I needed was a few more minutes to come up with something. She said, no, you got to go. You got to go now. I said, well, I don't have no money. She said, look around, because I had the paycheck. Look around in there, you got to have something. So I looked, found a fare card on my dresser with an orange strip down the side. At that time, non-rush hour was still 85 cents. It was 85 cents on the card. Wow. The subway was three blocks down the street, you know. And I said, okay. I said, okay. So I took that yellow suit off. I put on something, walked down there, and I rocked on that subway from Stadium Armory to Foggy Bottom. And I got off. I went across the street, went down the steps, and there was a lady, a doctor and a nurse. They were standing waiting. And I was like, so we talked and everything, and I started in the outpatient treatment for 3 nights a week. Now, mind you, I had been there already because, you know, trying to save that job one more time. I had called them 3 months before that. And when I went around there, it was around the corner from my office. The lady said, okay, you need to sign this. And I read it. I said, oh, I can't have a beer? She said, no, you can't have nothing. I said, oh, no, 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 I'm not ready to do that yet. And I gave it back to her. And I went back out for, I kept on running for 3 more months, and then I found myself back in there. And for somebody that used every day, y'all, I ain't know about the rooms yet. I went to an outpatient treatment facility for 3 nights a week for 3 months. The other 4 days, it wasn't nothing but the grace. Nothing but the grace. Because people just dropped off by the wayside. Phone stopped, everything just stopped. And I just went to that thing, went to work and went there, went to work and went there. And when I was getting ready to leave, my last session, I heard them say something about these meetings. And I was like, what is these meetings? And the lady told me, and where I live, it was a bus stop in front of my building. One bus took me over to St. Luke's. And that was my first meeting. And some of you all know Tommy and Jewel, they were the chair people. Never forgot that. That was August the 11th, 1990.
Ooh, 1990.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot to give my clean day, August 11th, 1990. And I'm telling you, I started going to meetings. When I came in after the first meeting, I asked Tommy and Jewel, I said, well, am I supposed to say my name and I'm an addict? They said, it don't matter. Just keep coming back. I said, oh, I'm going to say what y'all say because I saw people hugging and smiling. I was like, what the? I was happy. I said, oh, there's some people that don't do nothing. And they look cool. They look cool, too, you know, because I always wanted to be cool. So that was a big thing. And so that image thing. Talk about that for a minute. But, yeah, so I got me a sponsor about 3 months later, and we started doing step work. Well, she had me going to, I'd go to meeting every day, and one day, I guess I was about maybe about 6 months clean, and I called her, and I said, you going to the meeting tonight? And she said, no, I'm not going tonight. She had about 5 or 6 years. And I said, oh. She said, no, that's not for you. She said, I earned this. She said, and you got to earn it too. You got to keep going every day. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it, you know. And a lot has happened. A lot has happened. Life shows up, you know, and it's real, 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 real good. But on some days, I don't be living the program. You know, I don't want to live the program. I really don't. Some days, like the day that they called me and told me your biopsy was positive. You have breast cancer. Really? You know, then 2 years ago, a day before, 2 years ago tomorrow, I get a call. I'm getting ready to come to Ocean City, and my sister died. Really? Live the program? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, you know, before that, I got married in recovery, and I love my ex-husband. He is a wonderful father. Then, you know, I get married, and then they don't want to be married anymore or whatever. And, you know, because one thing we don't do is talk about each other at the podium. So that didn't work out, but we have a beautiful son from that relationship. My son, Darren, he's 18, and so he's a recovery baby. You know, but a lot has happened. You know, I had to deal with that. Then I've been in failed relationships, and one just recently. You know, really? Live the program? You better. You better. You better. Because, see, that's exactly how I got to have all of this, the relationships. You know, whether they fail or make it. You know, at least I'm a good prospect now. And that's from doing the work. That's from, this is what I do to live the program, and then I'm going to let it go. I think it's almost my time. Oh, my God, thank you. Got that sponsor. I had her for 17 years, did all my step work with her. She decided to do something else, so I got another sponsor. I've had her for going on 6 years, 6 or 7 years. You know, I sponsor a couple of people, but I go to meetings and do step work and just try to treat somebody real good, you know. It ain't always, it's not always about me, you know. But I got some days now where I'm like, look, Not today. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know. So I'm still a work in progress. But meeting makers make it. For real, for real. So my home group, I have two home groups. I have an open discussion home group and I have a STEP home group. I just got the STEP home group recently. And they said in here, keep coming back. You can do whatever you want. And that, those are positive things, you know. It doesn't say anywhere where I can't have two home groups. You know, and my network, oh, my God, my network. I can't say it enough. Build relationships with people. My sponsee, God, you know. And some people in here, we don't talk all the time, but when we see each other, we just have a connection. Linda, love you. The 2 years ago when I received a call about my sister, she had just celebrated 20 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was getting ready to come to Ocean City, and God, y'all, that was the worst pain. That was worse than when I got breast cancer. And I'm a seven and a half year survivor. Thank God. Let me share that. And that mother-daughter thing, I was telling Veronica this the other day when we talked, that I meant to share the blessing. Now on Fridays, I go to my mother's house and sit at her kitchen table and we eat dinner and laugh and talk. You know, because when I came in, I had a little resentment. I had a little resentment because I was the oldest. I had to do everything. You know, if them dishes was in the sink when she got home at 12 midnight, I had to get up and get them out the sink because I was the oldest. Oh, when I came in, I was like, you know, why everybody like my mother? But my mother's a good mother. I love her. But step work helped me to get to that place. So now, and then missing my sister. You know, she was in the middle. And so that was hard. That was the worst pain that I have experienced in here. When I got the call, whoo, I was in my kitchen. I'll never forget it. And when I hung up the phone, all I could do was scream. And the scream came from the bottom of my stomach. Mm-hmm. Lit up the whole house. But you know the blessing is, y'all? The angels came and carried her away in her sleep. And I know they did. And another blessing is that I could be found. I had a car. I had gas in the car. I did everything they asked me to do. Plus came up with my little part of the money. You know, and it was a sister here. That call, everybody from the fellowship was calling me, oh, I just love y'all so much. They showed up and showed out. Yes, sisters came over the day before they left to come down. They came over to my mother's and brought money because my sister had no insurance. And another sister that was already down here, she said, oh, I got that. And so somebody called me and said, girl, she did. I said, look, I don't care. We need help. I don't care what she's doing. We need help. You know. But we got it done as a family group thing, you know. I don't know. Anyway, my days today are way better than they were when I was using, you know. I still do a little overspending, you know, a little overloving, a little overgiving, but it's okay. It's okay. It really is. It really is because it makes me feel good. I can't worry about what they going to do with that, you know. One more thing, I short sold my house a year ago. I went to settlement April 29th, 2013. Yeah. And, you know, thank God for a sponsor. If you don't have one, get one. You got to have one. Because if I ain't have her, I'd have beat myself some kind of silly. That woman, she said, honey, you better free yourself. She said, y'all, because let me just share this. When I started going to, I have a lot of jewelry. When I started going to the pawn shop to pay my mortgage, I said, when I went up in, I said, oh, shit, this feel like when I was using. Because I had a pawn shop, too, when I still had jewelry. And I said, oh, no, we got to stop this. So my sister came to me. She said, look, we got a job mansion. We can help each other. Your whole townhouse can fit in our basement. I said, no. She said, we got a room upstairs for your son with a bathroom in it that nobody uses. I said, no. My niece and nephew got their own room. I was like, Stephanie, that ain't going to work. She said, okay. Well, if they don't work it out to your liking, just know you got somewhere to go. This is a sister that stole hundreds of dollars out of her purse. She owned a hair. She had a hair. She did hair then. She didn't have the hair salon. And you know, beauticians have bankrolls in their pocketbook. I used to take one or two hundreds out, and she would call the crack house, "Is my sister up there?" I'd be like, and this sister said, "Oh, you got somewhere to go. Oh my God. Oh my God." And it is the best environment for me. It works. It don't work for everybody. And because 2 years ago, I couldn't live with nobody. 5 years ago, my mother used to say, "Oh, can't nobody live with you?" My sister, she tells me all. She said, "You know, you are nothing like what everybody be thinking." But you know, I'm a neat freak and all that stuff. But I had my own place. So that, she said, "Oh, when we come downstairs, it's coming to the White House." I said, "That's right." But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I don't think that I needed to be alone, because my son is off at college, and it would have been just me. And I know me, I'd have went into a little closet, you know, start doing your own thing, slipping away a little bit. And I get to see how people love each other and how we connect. And they tell me every, when I leave, they say, "Love you, have a good day." I be like, "Oh, okay, thanks." You know? And so it's a real good thing. It's a good thing. Again, thank you to the NA committee. And I think, is that my time up? Oh, it is. Okay, thanks for letting me share.